call this September 6th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission open. Roll call, please.
Sherwood.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Holstrom. Absent. Smith.
Here.
Merkin.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
Steele. Absent.
Is there any changes to the agenda or will stand as noted? And will stand as noted. Any corrections or omissions in the minutes? Hearing none, they will stand. At this time, we welcome any public comment that is not about the things that are scheduled, the two subdivisions scheduled. So anything that is not on the agenda, if there's anybody in the public who would like to speak to any other question, now's the time. Okay. Darren, would you go ahead and summarize?
Emily's got it.
Okay. The first item before you today is a rezoning and subdivision request. It's the Dayton Park major preliminary subdivision plat. The applicant is Jeff Gibbons, who lives at 2272 Dayton Parkway, northeast of Ames. The property is located in Section 24 of Franklin Township. And the nature of this request is both a rezoning and a subdivision plat again. The rezoning request is to go from the A1 agricultural district to the R1 transitional residential district. The major preliminary plat is a request to divide the existing 10, almost 11-acre parcel into four lots. These range in size from about 1 acre to the largest is about six and a half acres. And the goal here would be to create three additional lots for single-family dwellings. All of the lots would take access off of a proposed private street, and that would be located about 300 feet south of Dayton Parkway, which is the private driveway that currently extends west of Dayton Avenue. So we are on the very far eastern edge of Franklin Township here, about 1.9 miles northeast of the city of Ames and 3 miles southeast of the city of Gilbert. The subject property is zoned A1. There is a subdivision to the north that's zoned AR here. And that was rezoned in 1994 when the country estates subdivision plat started taking place. There are several additions there. There is some R1 zoning directly to the west of the subject property. Parcel C, which is right here, was actually previously zoned R1, and there was a request to rezone it back to A1 to allow livestock. I might point out as well, Martin Marietta is right here, so the high industrial. And so we've seen them here before, but that's in close proximity as well. So looking at the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, we are in the Rural Service and Agricultural Conservation Area. This property is designated both rural residential and natural area. In terms of the rural residential designation, this is for single-family dwellings that involve maximum average net densities of 1 unit per acre. This subdivision request meets this policy. Encourage clustering of residential sites. Again, we looked at sites that were there's plenty of housing in the nearby vicinity. And then limit rural residential development on prime agricultural land. This land is not currently in production. So the utility providers for this property are Alliant Energy, Xenia Rural Water, the Gilbert Fire Department, and Mary Greeley Ambulance. Looking at the surrounding land use, within a quarter mile of the site, there are 21 single-family dwellings. You can see Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park is not included in that number, but that is to the northeast, and there's about 35 homes there. Country Estate Subdivision is located here, and then there's about half mile to the northeast is the Tullamore Subdivision. So this is the subject property here. This is Dayton Avenue and 190th Street here. And Dayton Parkway extends west of Dayton Avenue. There are five single-family dwellings that have access off of Dayton Parkway, which, again, is a private driveway. So the background on this property, I know that the applicant has come before you previously and told you a little bit about the history of this site. But it was established in 1916 for boating, cabins, dance hall, swimming pool, as well as other amenities, an outdoor recreation area. It was last used around 1950. The property owner has found many artifacts, including the remains of a 100-foot by 40-foot swimming pool. The existing single-family dwelling on the property was built in 1978. So here's just a breakdown of the proposed subdivision. Again, it's four lots for three additional single-family dwellings. Proposed lot one would be 1.5 acres. Proposed lot two, 1.17. Proposed lot three would be 1.04 acres. And then proposed lot four, which would contain the existing single-family dwelling and the area to the west, would be 6.8 acres. So here is the proposed division. Again, Dayton Parkway is up here, Dayton Avenue to the east here. They are proposing a private street that would extend off of Dayton Avenue. Lot 1 would be in the northeast corner here, Lot 2 in the southeast. Lot 3 is hidden a little bit back in there, but that lot contains the existing swimming pool. And we can look at that in a minute. And then lot 4 would contain the existing home and this larger natural area. Just wanted to show you kind of this bird's eye view here on the existing single family dwelling. Again, lot 1 here, lot 2, lot 3, you can see the swimming pool here, and then lot 4, which would extend westward. Some site photos. This is the existing single-family dwelling. We're looking west onto proposed lot 4. Another image of the existing single-family dwelling and the accessory structures on proposed lot 4. This is looking south toward the proposed lot 3. The swimming pool is back there. And I have an image of that the applicant provided for the presentation that we'll look at in a minute. Here's looking at proposed lot 2. Again, we're looking south. Here's looking east toward Dayton Avenue. The proposed road would go kind of right in the center here. This is just an image of the conservation area that's directly east on the other side of Dayton Avenue from this proposed subdivision site. Here's looking northeast at proposed lot 1. Dayton Avenue would be here, and then Dayton Parkway here. Here's looking northeast from Dayton Parkway across Dayton Avenue toward 190th, and that's Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park. In this photo, we're standing at the location of the proposed private street looking northward toward 190th. And here looking south along Dayton Avenue. Here's some images of the western portion of the property, which again would be part of proposed lot 4. The applicant has some accessory structures and some equipment located on this in this area. Here's looking south on proposed lot 4 toward the natural area. So there's a ravine, kind of a creek area down here. And then looking south again at that natural area. Here's looking northwest to the property on the north side of Dayton Way. The single-family dwelling is here. And then looking northeast to the property, to another property on the north side of Dayton Way, Dayton Parkway, and this is an accessory structure, and the single-family dwelling is located to the east. And then looking east along Dayton Parkway toward Dayton Avenue, which runs perpendicular there. So in terms of standards of approval for rezoning, the first thing is that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the Story County Development Plan, or the C2C plan in this case, and actually in this specific case, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Again, I talked about that. It was designated the rural residential and the natural area. So I won't go through that again because I already talked about that, but we feel that it conforms to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan land use designations. The proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district. Again, the proposed subdivision meets the both requirements of the R1 transitional residential district, is consistent with nearby residential lots. The proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. Property immediately adjacent to the west of the subject property is already zoned R1 transitional residential. There is the Country Estate subdivision, which is zoned AR, located directly to the north. The Tullamore Glen subdivision is zoned R1 as well, and that's located just about half mile northeast of the subject property. And then again, there is Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park to the northeast. The fourth item is that the rezoning shall protect natural environmental resources. If the subject property contains more than 50% of the gross acreage and natural resource area, then it shouldn't be rezoned. But in this case, there's about probably the southern third of the property is designated that natural area within the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Of course, development in this area would be discouraged. There appears to be, for the proposed subdivision lots, there appears to be a space to build a single-family dwelling without infringing on that natural area designation. Lot 3 may be the exception to this, but again, the existing swimming pool or the remains of the swimming pool is located, and is likely where the future dwelling would need to be built just based on the configuration of the lot and the 90-foot lot width requirement we have. The dwelling would need to be built in that area. So here's an image of the swimming pool. It's 100 by 40, and we're looking south, right from toward that natural area from the kind of northern end of proposed lot 3 here. And finally, in order to rezone a property from the A1 or A2 district to another district, the LISA score needs to be low enough. And in this case, the LISA score for the property was 177, allowing the property to be eligible for rezoning. Subdivision regulations. This is a major subdivision plat because of the proposed street. There are only 4 lots being proposed, but minor subdivisions do not permit any space set aside for, like, public areas, streets, alleys, parks, open space. There is, for the major subdivision plat, there is a preliminary plat requirement. So before you today is the application for the preliminary plat, which will then go to the Board of Supervisors for review. Once, if it's approved, and once any development improvements are made, so the street would need to be finished, then the applicant could come back with a final plat for approval by the Board of Supervisors. Here's some comments from the interagency review team. Environmental Health just commented that because there are more than two lots, the applicant will need to hire a soils professional or engineer to conduct the soil evaluation for the septic system. The Story County engineer gave an okay about the location of the proposed street. He feels comfortable with that. The assessor's office just spoke to how they tax, I guess, subdivisions. Lot 4, of course, will be assessed at market value with the existing dwelling. And then lots 1, 2, and 3 will be assessed at plat value until built upon. Or if the lots are still vacant after 5 years, then they will be assessed at market value. Planning and Development had several comments related to including items on the subdivision plat. Originally, Outlot X was the western portion of Lot 4 was designated as an outlot. We recommended that this be combined with proposed Lot 4. And I think that's what I would like to highlight there. So comments from the public. We did send notices to property owners within a quarter mile of the proposed subdivision on August 29th. A copy of the materials were sent to the City of Ames and Gilbert. The cities of Ames and Gilbert have expressed no concerns regarding this proposed rezoning and subdivision. We did receive several phone calls with general inquiries about the proposed development, as well as I think we're up to 6 emails with concerns regarding the proposal, and all of those were forwarded to you. And we did also do publication of the public hearing in the 3 designated county newspapers. So in terms of the rezoning, Story County Planning and Development staff do support the rezoning from the A1 Agricultural District to the R1 Transitional Residential District based on the following. The subject property is immediately adjacent to 2 parcels with single-family dwellings that are zoned R1. The R1 Transitional Residential District does conform and is consistent with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan rural residential designation. The proposed use conforms to the statement of intent and the bulk regulations of the R1 Transitional Residential District. And the proposed use will conform to the surrounding land use and development patterns. In terms of the subdivision, Planning and Development staff do recommend approval of the proposed Dayton Park major subdivision based on the following. The proposed subdivision will create 4 lots for 3 additional single-family dwellings, and this is located to the east of the existing dwelling. The proposed subdivision does meet our land development requirements for major subdivision plats. All lots will have frontage along a proposed private street, and the current driveway off of Dayton Parkway to the existing single-family dwelling will be removed, and proposed lot 4 with the existing dwelling will take access off of that private street as well. So I would ask you this evening to consider 2 motions. One would be for the rezoning request, and then one would be for the subdivision request. Again, staff is recommending approval which is our alternative number one in each of these cases. And we can go more specifically into the alternatives if you would like once we get to that point. Any questions?
There was kind of an eye chart there with a list of concerns by the engineering, 10 items. Was it engineering that?
This was planning and development.
Planning and development, mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to read through that real quick.
We just talked about that there would be a new 911 address because of where the proposed lot 4 would be taking access. We just asked about retaining ownership about lot X and if that could be combined with lot 4. There was a street designation on the private driveway to the north. We asked that that be removed. Just some dimensions. Noted that development is discouraged in the natural area. Maximum removal of 15% of natural vegetative cover for grading, roadway construction, building, site clearance is permitted. The setback requirements should be shown on the plat. Some of the zoning districts that were initially included in the rezoning map were incorrect, and so we asked to have those changed, which they were. We asked for a statement on stormwater management and SUDIS guidelines, and then we did receive a phone call, and we asked some follow-up questions regarding the use of the western portion of proposed lot 4. And the applicant is here today. If you have any questions on that, I will allow him to speak to that.
Okay. Does that help, Marvin?
Mm-hmm.
It did. Thank you.
Any other questions from commission members? Would the applicant care to speak? Can you please go to the podium, state your name and address, please?
Jeff Gibbons, 2272 Dayton Parkway. I purchased this property 4 years ago. Prior to that, I lived in Century Estates for 9 years, so very familiar with the area and love the area. And lot 4 is going to be my residence, so that's where I live today, and I take a lot of pride in the neighborhood and want to be a good neighbor. You have any other questions for me?
Questions?
I'm curious. I mean, it seems like there's some concern from existing residents regarding removal of trees. Do you have plans? Obviously, we have a limitation of how many trees you can potentially remove as part of the development process, but do you have any proposed interest in adding additional trees? Or
I have pictures from the day I purchased the property, and Emily has seen those. So I've spent countless hours cleaning up the property. The trees that were removed, many of them were broken, diseased, and a lot of it, if you look at the aerial photos, they were bushes. And so I've documented several of that. Have I taken out more trees with the consulting of an arborist? I wanted to make sure the mature oaks were not competing with the underbrush underneath. So I was advised to thin some of those out. But in terms of I've planted 71 trees here in the last year and a half, and I'll continue to plant more. I have documentation of where I lived before this. I've planted over 125 trees. And so I have no problem making the place look beautiful. I mean, it's part of my passion, but sometimes when you've got a evasive tree that's a little bit higher than the oak, and the oak's going to be there for 150 years, what do you do? The tree that's underneath it is broke, so some of those got removed. And like I said, I have several pictures if you'd like to see.
No, no, thank you for your comments. It's helpful.
Do you have a firewood business?
Excuse me?
Do you have a firewood business?
No, I do not have a firewood business. I do have a sawmill. I do have a sawmill, and I do have firewood. I have a wood-burning stove. I love to have campfires.
Okay, when I drove by, I saw a whole lot of wood stacked. And I thought that was more than one person or one family could possibly use. That's why I wondered what you were doing with all the wood.
Rather than burn it, I give it to my friends.
Okay.
But do I have, to answer your question, I do not have a firewood business.
Okay, thank you.
Rather than burn it all, it's stacked there to use.
What do you process in the sawmill? Wood is the obvious answer, but what's the purpose of the sawmill?
Woodworking is my hobby.
Any other questions for the applicant from the commission?
There was somebody brought up that you had plans or talked previously about putting in a pond. Is that part of this development?
No. Well, the day I purchased the property, the previous owner showed me pictures of Dayton Lake. I fell in love with the property. Initially, that was my wish. But after inquiring about it, I knew that it was going to be a bigger undertaking, so I've just basically deferred it. I'd love to put it back, but right now I'm not prepared to do that today.
You're saying there was a natural lake there?
Excuse me?
Are you saying there was a natural lake on the property that you bought?
We have a photo.
A hundred years ago, this was the Hickory Grove of its day. In 1916, you go to Farwell Brown's document of this. There were 4,000 people and 500 cars. Dayton Road got its name from Art Dayton, who was owner. There was a racetrack out there. There was a dance hall. There was an ice cream parlor. This was the happening place 100 years ago.
Okay, that's where I was asking is whether it was a natural lake or a pond that had been created. So that's the answer.
There it is, Linda.
Wow. Okay.
Any other questions?
So this picture is 1915. There are people out there in three-piece suits in canoes.
Well, the quorum would dictate.
There were also concerns raised about regrading, filling in the culvert on the side of the road and changing water runoff patterns and things. Can you give more information about that?
Well, I've been there 4 years, and I haven't seen any water in there, so I would probably defer that to Bob.
I mean, has there been regrading on the side of that
in the front.
Shared drive? That Dayton Parkway?
Oh, on Dayton Parkway?
Yeah.
Have
you done any regrading along Dayton Parkway that has changed the water? Was there a culvert along?
Yeah, the culvert's still there.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Would anybody like to speak pro or con to this? Mm-hmm. Library zoning?
Yeah, I think all of us do. So I don't know what order we're going.
Okay. Your name and address, please.
Yeah, Scott Dahl, 2001 Dayton Parkway. We live directly across from the back portion of the property. And, well, we are, my wife will be speaking separately as well, we are opposed to the subdivision for several different reasons. First, the existing neighborhood, I know that you're comparing it to Country Estates and Tullamore Glen, but really those are separate neighborhoods divided by a deep ravine. We can view our area along Dayton Parkway as its own neighborhood, and it has a very different look, a very different feel than these other areas that have been mentioned by Emily and the others. We've got multi-acre wooded lots for the majority, whereas the other subdivisions are more open, again, more of a subdivision look, whereas ours is maybe represents more of private estates. If you look at the area that's zoned A1, I think the map that had gone up before just showed one property that was zoned A1. Actually, every property around surrounding Jeff's area is zoned A1, with the exception of the one that you have listed there. Then the actual amount of land that borders Jeff's property represents roughly 7% of the total land surrounding his property. So while there is that adjacency, it represents a very small portion that's currently zoned R1, and the rest is zoned A1. As I had mentioned in my emails, you know, we had several concerns since Jeff had purchased the property as far as cutting a lot of the wooded area down, basically turning the park directly across from our house into essentially a parking lot or a junkyard storage area, which was not the case prior. You had asked the question of Jeff about the drainage ditch, and yes, he did regrade the entire area along that road, and we have seen significant additional runoff down our driveway and starting to rut out. But again, we've been there for about 14 years now, and it's only been within the last 2 to 3 years that we've noticed that additional change in the drainage. Jeff did add a second access drive to along Dayton Parkway. This was done without any permission from neighbors or without any communication with the county to do that as well. And yeah, I don't know if the pictures really showed the ravine area, and I have not been back down the ravine, but I know that the majority of the timber down in that area has been removed to allow for a future pond or to recreate the lake. And again, much of the property has been regraded. We've dealt with skid loader noise pretty much all day, so, you know, all hours of the day for several years. Now, we have certainly great concern about what will happen to the back lot section of the property as well. Jeff has lied to our faces about what his intent for the entire property is, and I don't see any reason to trust that he won't try to further develop the back part of the land as well. So needless to say, that's a big concern that we have, and I think highlighted that as well in the email that we had sent. We do have additional questions about, you know, maybe some of the accuracy of some of the maps, the location of future septic if this is approved, just wondering exactly where that's going to end up. We also notice on the map there's looks like a proposed secondary parallel private driveway to Dayton Parkway that looks to us like it's something designed to allow for further development on the back side of the property. And yeah,
this area along here stretching down to the
along the length of.
Excuse me, did you point out where your residence is on that map?
Yep, we're in this residence right along here.
Thank you.
Lisa, we'll go into more detail about a couple of these things. But the other thing I wanted to mention at this meeting as well is if the subdivision for the front side is approved and the street is allowed to be built there, we're really opposed to it being called Dayton Park Circle or really anything including the word Dayton. We did not actually receive the mailed notice for this particular meeting because for whatever reason it was addressed to Dayton, to our address at Dayton Road instead of Dayton Parkway, and so it was returned. I mean, there's already a lot of confusion, I think, as far as the name of the road with Dayton Road versus Dayton Parkway. So adding to that confusion, I think, would be a mistake as well. Okay. Thank you.
Jerry Sloan, 5105 North Dayton Avenue. I have a residence that is about right here. And I sent an email. I don't know whether you received the distribution of that email, and it pretty well states my concerns in terms of developing a pretty much natural area now. Part of it's in Forest Reserve. A part of it is in some things that allows for tax abatement because it's in prairie ground, and I think that front part of the property must be where that area is. It's swamp tax or something. I can't remember on the assessor's page what its title is. And so it isn't residential area now at all. It's either wooded property or it's been seeded by the previous owner into prairie some 15, 20 years ago. Where that's the area where all the lots are. So my concern is just changing the nature of the neighborhood and of that property in particular, because now it's pretty much all wooded or in that prairie area. I do also have a concern. I know there was some mention that the current residents and the outlot, you're going to require that those be combined?
They have been combined on the plat. Yep.
And my question is, can the current applicant or future applicants come in and ask that be further subdivided? Will that be stipulated in the plat?
And that has not been stipulated. Do you want to talk about the private driveway?
I mean, in our view, the Dayton Parkway is actually considered like a driveway. The easement that was created, I think, back in the 70s, the ingress-egress easement was to allow access from Dayton Avenue to the property west of where Mr. Gibbons owns land. And so all the early plats of survey indicate that that's ingress, egress. And then at some point later, the terminology started to change to road right-of-way, and it's mapped as a road. It shows up on our GIS system, but the historical information is not there. So in our view, that is really treated as a driveway. And if you remember the first concept drawing that you were shown showed seven lots, and they were accessed off of what is Dayton Parkway or what we were considering the driveway. That wouldn't meet our current development standards. And so that's why they went back to the drawing board and came up with a scenario or a proposal that would have a separate access where it would be a separate road or street off of what is shown as, instead of a cul-de-sac, they're showing a proposed hammerhead. And then they reduced the number of lots from seven to what they were proposing initially to four. And then one of those lots is Mr. Gibbons' property. And one of the first versions that we saw showed that western portion, which is mostly wooded, as outline. And through our review, we thought that that should be included with Mr. Gibbons' property, and that's what we have before you today.
But to this question, can I get further something?
Thank you, because I'm thinking I've got the wrong question going here, the wrong answer.
I think, as Jerry said, our current regulations would not allow new lots to be created taking access off of a private driveway. It must have road right frontage on a road. So that's where the whole designation of the driveway came in.
So the answer then is yes, he would be allowed to further subdivide that area if he created his own road back to that area that was not taken parkway.
If there was a possibility of somehow he could reconfigure the existing proposed road to extend to the south or to the north back to that area, then potentially that area could be divided. But with the topography, it's pretty difficult to do that. And then also if that drive were to be turned into like a road right away, but in that scenario, it would involve the landowners, your property, other properties on the north side of that, and they would be required to be a part of that development concept. They would have to be a party to it.
I think that's why Scott was asking about that parallel easement or whatever that is just south of the existing Dayton Parkway. Thinking that that could be extended back to that lot as another access route to the outlot.
Well, it's conceptual. I think in reality, it would involve probably the landowners on the north side of that drive to make that functional. In most cases, you're going to need like a 60-foot road right-of-way section, but it's put in there for future planning in case they do have support to make that a road right-of-way in the future.
Thank you.
Did that answer your question? Did that answer your question?
Well, it sounds as though that parallel, whatever the terminology is, it's from Dayton Avenue through Lot 1, could conceivably in the future be extended on the south side, outside of the current easement area for the current Dayton Parkway, to allow the development of the back part of Lot 4.
It would also need to be reviewed by the county engineering department, and to have, if you don't include the land to the north, it would make it very difficult to work with a driveway that close to that right of way. Plus, you have existing buildings in the way there that would either likely be removed.
I guess my interest is getting it on the record that this was discussed and concern was expressed about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shuttle. Anyone else?
My name is Marty Kelly. My wife and I live at 5183 North Dayton Avenue, which is
this property right here. And these other folks have addressed a number of my concerns already, but let's talk topography. This area, I used to be a groundskeeper for almost 30 years, so I know my trees. This area back here has been almost all denuded, at least 1 acre, and it wasn't totally true that just bad broken trees were taken down. There were trees this big around, healthy, should have been left alone. They're all pushing a pile in this area and burned. I counted at least 5 piles that he burned, taller than me, big logs. Okay? Now, if this continues to happen,
Well, first of all, a lot of this is ravine headed down here on these lots. I don't really see enough room for a home and a septic tank right along the edge of the ravine. And there's a stream that runs along through here. So one of my big concerns is erosion down that way into that stream. Where the septic tank's going to run, probably downhill. I think that's probably the only things that I had to offer. Everyone else has seemed to bring up the concerns that I have. There's been a lot going on over there, and for the environment, it has not been good, and for wildlife, it has not been good, and I'm concerned that that will just continue with the expansion of this. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Lisa Lorenzendahl, the wife of Scott, who spoke first. And I just have a few things to add. I know that Scott mentioned that to us, our neighborhood isn't the quarter mile or half mile around us. I don't feel like I'm part of the Country Estates neighborhood. I don't feel like I'm part of the Mobile Home Park neighborhood. I feel like I'm a part of the neighborhood on Dayton Parkway. And in your, the staff report, in number three, the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. I just drew a quick map and accidentally put Roger Underwood's house on his barn instead of his house, so I apologize for that. But if you look at the blue circles and yellow lines, that shows how far apart the houses are currently. And I plotted approximate spaces of where the three proposed houses would be. And you can see it creates houses in much closer proximity than they are in the area that we consider our neighborhood. And I know Mr. Underwood has been trying for a long time to do different things to develop this land. He kind of has a history with the neighbors, at least with us, of what I call half-truths and deceptions. So he'll try to get us to agree to something, but not really tell us why. So my concern, and of course I'd love to stop this, but if you go forward with it, my big concerns are not what he's going to do that you approve, but what he's going to do that you don't approve. I don't think you really can appreciate without living out there how many trees he has cut down. I'll echo the last person's comments that he has cut down mature trees. He's made it pretty clear he wants to put that lake back in. And even though he said now he has no plans to do it, there's a lot of regrading going on down in that natural area because I've heard from other people that he plans to just dig the pond since he doesn't have. So it's just all these little things that happen that are just hard to reconcile. I would really urge you to not allow that second driveway in the top, even though we've expressed that it might not ever happen. I think if you leave any inroad, he will take it and find a way to make, he wants to find a way to get that road back and have a bigger development than what is there. I would also ask you in that same vein to consider why is that the new proposed road, why is that a T? Why is that not a cul-de-sac? I think it's because that's another way that he's going to try to eventually extend that road. A cul-de-sac implies it's a terminal end. A T implies you're going to branch off of it and keep going. So, again, if I could have my way, you'd say no to all of this. I know I'm not going to get my way, but at least I want to try to preserve some of my quality of life. And so our final concern is the use of what used to be Outlot X, but is now part of Lot 4 during construction. We suspect that's going to be what I'll call the construction junkyard, but it'll be the staging area. All the stuff will go there. So I have no idea about this stuff, whether it's allowed or not. I've never been involved in anything like this. But, that's a lot of potential traffic on that Dayton Parkway to get the construction materials staged in there. So then there, the sawmill, it was news to me that Jeff likes to do woodworking. I know that he's sold lumber to people. I know he had 100 telephone poles delivered one time, and those got sawed, turned into lumber. So personally, I don't like to say this about anyone, but I don't trust his intentions because he has not been completely honest with me and has been dishonest at times. So, you know, I don't wish ill on anyone, and if I truly believe that he wanted to make Lot 4 his home and live there happily ever after and not further subdivide, I would be happy for you. I'd be thrilled. I just, in my heart, can't believe that because that's not been what I've experienced to date. So that's probably enough for today. You're probably tired of hearing all of us repeat the same things, but thank you for considering these additional things.
Ms. Lorenzenball?
Yeah.
I have a question for you, or a comment, really. And I'll probably say this, Jerry, correct me where I go astray, but the purpose of that hammerhead, I'm not going to refute or state any intentions about any future use, but the county requires on roads of a certain length room for emergency vehicles to turn around.
And they can't turn around in a cul-de-sac?
I'm not saying that they can't turn around, but a hammerhead is probably a county requirement.
It's an option. You can do a hammerhead or a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Right. So it's an option. It's not.
Okay.
It's not specifically designed that way, as
but it's
future
convenient.
Extension. I'm not trying to state. I'm just saying it needs a county requirement as opposed to just a stub. It's an alternative to a circle.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Liz Teal. My family owns 2020 Dayton Parkway and 2017 Dayton Parkway. We are on the end of the west end of the road. We have a gate there that keeps a lot of traffic out of my private space.
Is there a way we can see? Right?
See what?
See where you're
is going? That on the map?
Oh.
Not too short.
Hold on here.
I'm here. I'm there. And I'm all over here. So, my guest house butts right up to Lot X, whatever
it's called. I have a question for you folks. This is the first time I've ever heard about 7 lots being developed out there, possibly. So you've gotten this information before... How long have you been working on this?
Well, I think a couple of months ago, he just brought in a conceptual drawing just to get a feel for what we thought about.
Must have been named.
They didn't actually ever make a subdivision of 7 lots.
Okay. Back in 1990, we purchased our first 6 acres up there, as you got in my email. We came home one night and had the rest of the road all plotted out for 4 sale signs. We had rights of first refusal on that land. And so we ended up in a lawsuit over it. We won that lawsuit, but it cost us a hunk of money. We did that because we did not want neighbors and we wanted our own privacy. So consequently, we come home again and we see all these proposed lot sites again. It's kind of a shock. You guys have seen it. We just found out about it last week, so we had to hustle around and figure out how to get our eggs in a basket to be able to get here. Now, from the sounds of things, anything we say is not going to change your mind. So I feel like this is futile for us to even come here and tell you or talk about how we feel or what's going on. It's kind of worthless for us to come after you guys have already made your proposals when we just found out about it less than a week ago. Seems like deja vu for me because...
No, we haven't made any proposals.
The applicant came in a couple... They requested to be on the agenda.
Okay, so the letter says we have not approved... We have approved this with the following... No?
This committee is a recommending body to the board of supervisors and the zoning... or the Board of Adjustments, whoever's going to approve it. So we don't actually have ability to approve approve, we just make a recommendation. And our role, the way I interpret it, is really to try and find to hear all of the input from the applicants and from the concerned public, and as well as the staff, and evaluate that against the existing regulations and against the C2C plan for the county, and to make sure that everything is.
So it's not a done deal.
Nothing has been approved.
That makes me a little feel better.
And if I might add, the recommendations you were seeing on the screen there were nothing that came from the commission members here. Those were the staff's recommendations to us.
Oh, okay. All right. I'd like to just say a couple other things. I'm trying to understand this process because you plan to move somewhere. You want it to be the way it is, and then it gets changed constantly. You constantly have to be fighting for privacy and letting the natural wooded area that we move to and love and stay there. I do know that when I come home from work, sometimes I don't like to have to drive around semis as they're unloading things for Gibbons' property on that X lot. There's always something there, and I think he just moved there recently. He's probably owned the property for 4 years, but I think he just recently moved there, so he hasn't been living there for too long a period of time. I do like to have nice neighbors. I don't like to have construction noise on Sunday mornings or every weekend when you're trying to camp out with your grandkids in the woods or do something quiet and peaceful there. There's just a lot of concerns, and I'm hoping that we can get through some of these before it gets all approved for that. The close proximity of his new drive, we already dealt with the mine's new driveway, which is down the road just a tad. Then we've got this one, and then we've got our parkway driveway there, and then we've got the three stop signs. So there's going to be a lot of in and outs there. The trucks are bad now. We're just going to have a kind of a mess there someday on Dayton Road with that new one and with the new mine. That's all I got for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mr. Any other public comment?
I just have a question.
There's a microphone over at the podium that records these, so...
I just have a question I'd like to ask the young lady. Has anyone from your staff gone out to look at that property?
Yep.
Physically?
Yes.
Okay.
Both.
All right. Thank you.
Two of us have. Thank you.
Please try to make it as brief as possible. We're getting a little long here.
Ron Teal, Liz's husband. And yes, this is our property. There is a river, Oak Creek, that used to be the runoff from the lake when it was there. Once we were there, we had no access to the back of the property. And the county Corps of Engineer guys come out and they laid out maps on their car and decided that the culvert that I was proposing needed to be a 2-foot culvert because it could have water over that little culvert if I didn't, and they said if you want to be really safe, put two-foot culverts in. I didn't believe them, so I put a 4-foot culvert in. That's like 6 times as big as a 2-foot. In the first 3 years, we had water over the road 3 times, and the runoff, this is a, as been spoken to, the north side of our property. It is totally ravine, so it's the estate north of us is not part of what we are. I mean, there's a huge ravine and a drainage way there, and south of us is the same way. So this is an area of its own entity, but if we start doing more development in that area, I'm fearful that we will have more erosion, less to stop, and... The trees that were all down where that lake was have all been cut out. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Anyone else?
When I took possession of this land back in August of 2013, I wanted to put the lake back. But after review of the property lines and where that lake would be, I realized it was a bigger undertaking than that. So it had to go through permitting and all those types of things. And so to decide that I said I was going to build a lake and I wasn't going to build a lake, I that was a wish. In order to do that, other property owners would have to be on board. Clearly they're not. So there's not a pond being built to that scale today. In regards to the trees, I've given Emily pictures, dated pictures of the day I took possession of that property, and some of the things that I've done in terms of the garbage that I've taken out. It's in my mind I've improved the property, and I will continue to replant trees and put it back. That's all I want to say about that. So some of the things that I said back in 2013, it was my intention to put the lake back. But the lake was a little bigger than just on my property. That's what I found out through that.
Mr. Gibbons, before you step away, would you say that you... Mr. Kelly spoke that you cut out approximately 1 acre of trees down where that proposed pond would be. Would you say that's correct?
1 acre of tree? No.
Brother?
Emily has pictures, and I can show you pictures back there. Did I take some trees out? Yes, they were in the bottom area of that. Do you want to see the pictures? Would that be helpful?
I'd like to have a better idea of have you done any regrading down in that area?
Yes. That was the day I moved in. That picture right here is an abandoned shed right here. All this is just brush. There was a row of trees right here. Next. This was directly across the street from the dolls. The previous owner, before the owner that I bought it from, had a tuxedo shop. This was an office. It was abandoned. There was the drywall, insulation. It was a health hazard. Next. I cut that off. Got rid of all the debris. Most of the trees were around this area were on top of that trailer. Next. Next. This was all the debris we took out, and we recycled, we reclaimed all the tin and all the things that we could. This was the garbage that was taken off that. Next. Next. That was the garbage that was on that property the month I took over. Next. Now, I don't see any stumps here. That means that was all bush right there. These trees, there was a row of trees right here, but these trees die from the top. These trees were all dying. Next. I've replanted 71 trees like this. Next. This is what they looked like. Here's Dahl's property. Here's where I live. Next. Does this look like I'm not trying to be a good neighbor? I've watered those trees the last year and a half, 4 times a week. These trees have doubled in size. Now, since that time, Scott has found out through a neighbor they had some concerns. I went over and talked to him. I had some debris out here that was eventually going to get picked up. Moved it right away. They have not expressed a concern since then. One time. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good steward of the resources. yes, I put this gravel here so that my machines would not put any dirt on that private drive. I regraded right here. Now look, this road right here is probably 18 inches higher than this grade, so I'm not sure how I'm getting water on their property. The water is flowing this direction. So that's inaccurate.
You took the ditch out.
And this is still lower than the road.
No.
Right here?
Up along the roadway. You took the culvert out from the thing in the road in the driveway and you regraded.
No, this is still.
You added a berm after you had done that. With the
dirt from the.
I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I you know what?
Okay. We're just asking. We're not here to arbitrate.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry.
My intentions is to put it back even better.
Okay. What about the question about somebody made the comment about 100 telephone poles delivered to the sawmill? Did that happen? I'm just curious.
Did I bring telephone poles? Yes.
Yeah. And what did you do with the telephone?
I made chairs. I have pictures of it. I recycled them. Keep going. So those are the trees I planted 10 years ago on my other property. Keep going.
Okay.
So this is looking south.
I'm sorry. I still have a question. Okay. The 100 telephone poles. What was the purpose of having those delivered?
They were free. They were given away.
And what did you do with them?
I made lumber out of them.
Okay. What did you do with that lumber?
I made chairs and I gave some to a friend who made a lean-to.
Okay. So that's not a business, running that sawmill.
I didn't make any money off. I didn't charge them anything for it.
You can run a business and not make money, but is that
no? I don't
part
have
of a business.
I have a hobby. Go back one. There's my sawmill, right here. It's not a business.
Size doesn't determine whether it's a business or not. I just want to make sure, because I have a question about whether or not you're running a business off of that property. Whether you're running business operations out of that sawmill.
No, I am not.
Okay, so I have one question. There's obviously some concern about further proposed development with this potential subdivision. Are you planning to have the road built prior to doing any of the other proposed development, say the new sort of residential housing or anything of that matter? Because it seems like some of the residents are a bit concerned about more traffic on the existing shared drive.
A couple of months ago, we brought a conceptual plan. There was issue about the rules and regulations on a private drive.
What you're talking about. Bob Gibson, Civil Design Advantage, the engineering firm working on this. I think your question
was about this road here.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to be paved. It's a rock surface road.
And that will be something that goes in because it has to have that surface prior to those homes being built. Okay. As far as somebody brought up construction staging, well, first of all, for a gravel road, it's just going to be gravel road pretty much laid on the surface here. There'll be a culvert, you know, there through the ditch, there connecting it to the gate. But as far as staging, each one of these lots, 1, 2, and 3, are individual lots, will be separate owners building their own houses. They won't be staging any of the materials back on Jeff's property. There'll be no reason to. There's plenty of room on each lot for whatever staging is needed, digging the basement, setting the dirt aside, so
How many feet from the proposed driveway to the corner of Dayton Parkway and Dayton Avenue?
This is 300 feet. Mm-hmm. And that's what was requested by engineering.
That's the minimum?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So is there another road going in besides that one with these three lots? I'm confused. I'm just talking about something over on that diagonal.
There's the private drive that runs along. It kind of splits the property line between the owners and the guest property. And that's the drive that serves those properties to the west and obviously north as well. It's currently just
that's property. Currently Dayton Parkway, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's another proposed one.
Jesus. No, it's not another proposed drive.
It's an easement.
It's just an approach. We thought it might be a good idea to set aside some space if it ever needed to be widened for any purpose, just so it would be there. I mean, there's plenty of other issues with extending it on. And Jeff's got his office right there. That's right smack in the middle of where that would be extended. But as Jerry alluded to earlier, that there are really a lot of lack of clarity about what that drive is and the purpose of it. And you know, just thought at some point it might behoove all the neighbors to do a little bit of improvement, especially getting out onto Dayton Parkway, and we left a little room for that to happen. We take it off. It comes down to that, but that's what that was.
Excuse me.
And we're not, one more thought. There are five lots that are served off of that drive, and technically by your standards now, only four lots can be served off a private drive. And I think that's one of the reasons why staff has asked that this current driver, which comes off of Dayton Parkway, will not come off of that. So there'll be one less drive on the Parkway, which, for what it's worth, one less house accessing off of onto Dayton Parkway under Dayton.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
You just said Jeff has his office there. What is the purpose of that office? What's that for? You have a business there.
We have a home business permit.
He does.
Application that's been reviewed and approved.
Oh, he has an application
for that
in?
Use.
So that had, okay. So that just came up that she needed the application probably during this process then. That she needed a permit.
More questions from the commission? We have a motion.
I'd like to ask the commission conversation first.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question actually for staff. With the designated natural area, right, cutting through there, what is the purpose or any limitations by that designation? What is that? What's the implication for that?
Development, for the most part, is discouraged. And primarily, it's that represents that crosshatch section.
Right.
So, of the four lots, again, the largest would be Mr. Gibbons's, where his dwelling and accessory buildings are. So, he's proposing to add three. Private lot that would be potentially impacted by that natural resource area would be lot three, which is where that existing pond is.
Swimming pool.
But we have in a R1 district is a 90-foot minimum lot width, and so with the topography, that house for that proposed lot three will likely be where that footprint of where that pool is. So natural resources will not likely be impacted. That pool needs to be removed, and that's where the house will go.
Can I add something to that? The line for the natural resource area is painted with a pretty broad brush, you know, from high level. you know, we could discuss that before we go, so if you guys haven't had a question, but in this case, you know, it crosses like the bottom quarter of that swimming pool, and then clearly the swimming pool is not natural, it's not a natural area. And you know, you can even see from those photographs how way back in history there were far less tree cut here than there is now. But my point is that, you know, if this line is drawn accurately, who knows what it would actually look like? It certainly would not include the swimming pool area. And that's about the only place you can really build a house back into that. The house would probably sit more than likely right here.
And where would the septic tank go?
It could go, you know, either side here, maybe over on that side.
To me, it feels like the septic tank's going to end up in the natural resource area. Is that false?
You have to have soil samples.
Yeah, but where are you going to put the house?
This is swimming pool is 40 feet by 100 plus an additional 7 foot sidewalk.
Okay, so it's huge.
By 100. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. So the house is even bigger.
How many acres are each lot again?
This is the smallest one, and it's the table one.
And how does that one meet the frontage requirements?
Off of this.
What are you talking about? Because it looks like a flag.
Yeah, lot. To me, this looks like a flagpole type scenario. And it doesn't really feel like it's in the context of the existing neighborhoods at all to me. It feels like it's crammed up there in the corner. And I don't think we're getting kind of a very, with that scale of the drawing there, we're getting kind of the whole experience of the neighborhood.
Do you want to see like a different map? I guess what is there a question?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot that we can do today. I mean, but I feel like we're just way zoomed in on that corner. Okay. And the other lots in the neighborhood, I mean, I know you guys scored it and that sort of thing, but they seem a lot larger than those proposed lots.
Yeah, lot 3 would not be, it wouldn't classify as a flag lot because with a flag lot there's usually a lot that's in front of it. So
I understand, it kind of feels like you're going to the lowest common denominator with this particular setting.
Can you pull up the GIS map and show all the surrounding lot lines? I think that'll give him what he's looking for, which is a comparative view of lot sizes.
Like this one?
Yeah, you can just see from the aerial.
Is that the GIS?
You're kind of getting a feel of the different lots right there, yes.
There you go.
Then you're going to cram, what is it, 4 on the very corner of, you know, Dayton and Dayton Parkway. Mm-hmm. And was it 190th there, too?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it feels like you're cramming just a few houses into the very corner using the lowest common denominator, where there's natural resources that are to be protected there as well.
There's only 3 houses in there.
Okay, but there will be 4?
There will be 4.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So there's 3 additional.
So like the one there now, to me, it feels like it that kind of fits into the whole neighborhood.
Okay, so this is the neighbors. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at the natural area. That's 1 acre lot. There's
but they don't want to put 4 houses on that lot.
No, but their lot is not much bigger than the lot we're proposing here or this one.
This
one
is 1 acre lot.
This is 2 acre lot.
No,
2 acre lot.
2 and a half.
1.8
to
2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The one up, lot 1 is 1.5 acres.
So I think to Jonathan's point, it's creating 3 new lots that are smaller than the smallest lots. Lot there.
Yeah. Right on the corner of it. Like, it just feels the whole balance of the neighborhood seems like it's going to be thrown off. And you're putting density right up against that road right there. So I know the engineers checked off on this, but to me, it's, again, the lowest common denominator if we need to put that right there. And I just see it as an access management problem. And if you're moving trucks through that driveway right there, like 18-wheeler trucks with heavy equipment on it.
One thing to consider, too, is they're requesting a change to R1, and the minimum lot size for an R1 lot is 25,000 square feet.
Okay.
Right. So these far exceed that minimum lot size requirement.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's fits in with the context of the neighborhood. Yeah.
Might meet the criteria.
Yeah, it meets your criteria. You're able to come say, yeah, well, mathematically, you can sure do that by meeting the lowest common denominator to cram it all there in that corner.
I'm thinking more of this being treated like a rural subdivision, right? Which is, I know it's within
the lot size of an agricultural residential.
I get it.
Development. I have one more question for staff. You have a list, so I want to make sure.
Yeah. Interrupt your flow. The clear cutting. How much of that they're able to do on this?
You know, that's a very good question. Our development standards, I think, are really set up such that they focus on development applications, whether they be zoning permits, conditional use permit applications, subdivision plats, and a lot of what has been discussed have been things that have taken place prior to the submittal of this subdivision plat. You know, that's a good question. I don't know that
like under the current activity, under the current zoning, are they able to do clear cutting in those natural areas there?
Like I said, I think our standards are set up such that they really focus on development applications.
Okay. Yeah, I think 1% was the number that was. Right,
15%
with a development subdivision plats, so they could remove for road right away, for grading, for the footprint of the houses, but that's focusing on the plat itself. There's a lot of discussion about what may have taken place prior to these plats to middle, and I think our regulations are somewhat loose in that regard.
Okay, so it's questionable
then? I would say yes.
Okay, questionable activity.
I don't know that it's a regulated activity.
Okay. I have a question related to that, which is, are there any permits or anything required for the construction of the pond?
Probably not currently, but we are reviewing the possibility of having a grading permit required.
There are regulations, though, about changing runoff and altering. For neighboring properties, the water runoff, right?
Well, we have requirements for development applications.
So runoff, and it all goes to your neighbor. Right?
You know, you have to show that you're meeting Iowa Stormwater Management Manual requirements and SUDIS requirements for erosion control.
So
they're focused on development applications.
So I guess my question is really, even though that's designated as a natural area, and even though constructing a pond would alter water flow and runoff and whatnot, there's no regulations or anything about that, so he can go and dig the pond as long as it's entirely on his property without permit.
We do not currently have a grading permit application. We are reviewing that as a possibility.
Okay.
I
wanted to make sure that staff said that and that it's on the record, and so all the neighbors that are hearing.
We are considering
that what he's doing. You may disagree with or not like, and even though it's designated as a natural area, that there are no county regulations that prohibit it.
Doesn't mean that won't happen.
Under the current zoning for this property, is a sawmill permissible?
We had asked questions similar to the questions that were asked today of Mr. Gibbons, and we were told that it was for a hobby, and people have tools, equipment like this for hobbies. We made it clear, though, that he could not have a business, that it wasn't zoned for that. And, again, we do have a home business permit application. Provision in the ordinance, but you can only have one home business, so we made that very clear.
Okay, so, but to me, it looks like a land use as a sawmill. Does that matter if it's a business or not, if the land is being used for those purposes?
The response was that it's for personal use.
Okay.
And so,
you know, we have to take that into consideration, and we did.
And for the grading activity on the property, it sounds like from the neighbors that that's a drawn-out process. Now, are there times that people can grade, or can they just always just on a weekend just go out and grade their property?
I might just point out the grading that they're referring to has nothing to do with the county wouldn't do any permitting of that because that is Dayton Parkway is a private driveway.
Okay.
So that's private property. We don't have any jurisdiction over that.
Okay.
I would like to point out one thing. All of you that went out there and built homes changed the nature of that property.
I did not build a home. I just moved
it. Any other comments?
Yeah, I think the neighbors have a vested interest in the context of the neighborhood. These homes are not very new. They have a level of expectation that they would like in their neighborhood based on the property they bought. And to me, this looks like it's just the, you know, put there up there in that corner, crammed up there, and it doesn't make sense.
We need to, I would say we need to get a motion about the zoning change first, because if that zoning change doesn't pass, there's no sense in voting on the subdivision. Is that right, Jerry?
That's correct. We'd like action on the rezoning request prior to the subdivision plan.
Motion, please.
Can you go back to what's being requested? I mean, you're showing the recommendation, but the...
I guess I'm not sure. A map or...
No, just what is the... If I'm going to word a recommendation, I want to know what the actual request is. Right, so that they're applying for rezoning from
the A1 district to the R1 transitional residential district.
That's what I was looking for. Thanks. So I'll make a motion, and the motion is to approve the request for the rezoning of A1 agricultural to the R1 transitional residential district by the applicant.
Have a motion. Do we have a second?
Excuse me, a second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Can I ask, would there be any feasible way where instead of, I know there's concerns from a lot of folks about kind of the number of lots, would there be any way to reduce the number of lots that you want to subdivide, say from, we're talking like 4 to maybe 3? Is that realistic? Or?
I'm following the guidelines. It's a common across, you know, kitty corner from this is a trailer park. And to say that I'm not trying to follow
it. I think we need to deal with the motion in hand.
Okay. I was just wanting to get that out of the way.
Any other discussion? We have a roll call vote, please.
Smith.
Yes.
Holstrom.
No.
McBride.
No.
Cable.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yes.
Sherwood.
No.
Now what do we do?
That's the recommendation that will go on to the board supervisors.
So we can now ask for a motion to approve the subdivision then? Or can we not?
I would think that you could.
Okay. Do we need a motion either to approve or not approve subdivision?
Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission is a board that makes a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. So even if they recommend denial, it will still move forward to the Board of Supervisors for action.
And with a 3-3 vote, that's it's not in support. So that's the first part.
So the supervisor, as part of the explanation, one thing I would add is again, we're a recommending body. So this will go before, is this going before Board of Supervisors or Board of Adjustment?
Board of Supervisors.
So this will come before the Board of Supervisors, and they are free to listen to our recommendations or not. They're free to vote however they see fit. So if you are, have concerns, then I would recommend that you
show up directly to the Board of Supervisors.
And if you receive a notice for this meeting, you will also receive a notice for the Board of Supervisors meeting.
Does anybody want to make a motion to approve or not approve?
I would make a motion to for alternative 3 that we recommend denial of the proposed Dayton Park major subdivision.
I will second that. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any other discussion? This is a motion to deny the subdivision plan. Hearing none.
I just want to hear, Linda, what your primary reasons are for not a long drawn out discussion, but just for the record, I want to hear what the.
Well, I voted yes on the rezoning because I think it is appropriate for this land.
Agreed.
I voted. I recommend, or I made the motion for alternative 3 because I do not think that this proposal is consistent with the type of uses that are there now. And I also have some strong questions whether or not it's related. I have some strong questions about what's happened on this land previous to this application being brought here. I think that's relevant.
I think the wording of the development patterns, you know, the wording specifically uses the terms like development patterns, and so I can see where that's fully recognized. Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
So, as a reminder, it's a vote to
deny.
Support
deny.
The motion, and the motion is to deny.
Holstrom, yes. McBride,
yes.
Sherwood,
yes.
Smith,
yes.
Cable,
no.
Merkin,
yes.
Okay.
So again, that's the recommendation that will go forward to the Board of Supervisors. Yes,
so
please.
I just have a process question because I thought that you had to come to this meeting 3 times. So does this mean you don't have to come back?
One down. We're done.
So with the development applications go before the Planning and Zoning Commission one time. With the rezoning request, that is that does need to go before the Board of Supervisors 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, under state law. So that's yes.
Let's move on to.
Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you.
Okay, the second request before you today is also a rezoning and a subdivision. This is a minor subdivision request made by Ben and Jared Jensen. The property is located in Section 34 of Washington Township and is currently addressed 27932 Timber Road, east of Kelly. The nature of the request is a rezoning request from the AR Agricultural Residential District with conditions to the AR Agricultural Residential District without conditions. And we'll go into that more specifically in a minute. The minor subdivision plat is looking to divide the existing 5.5-acre parcel into three lots for two additional single-family dwellings. These lots range in size from 1.31, which would be the smallest, to 2.37 acres, which would be the largest lot. All lots would take access off of an access easement that would extend north of 280th Street, and that would be an alternative compliance request, which I'll get into in a minute as well. So the location of this proposed subdivision is 1.5 miles south of the city of Ames, also 1.5 miles east of the city of Kelly in southern Washington Township. The zoning of the property is currently AR with conditions. It was rezoned from R1 in 2006 for the purposes of permitting the previous property owner to have horses. So that's when the conditions were added to the zoning. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan land use framework map is similar to the previous case within the Rural Service and Agricultural Conservation Area, designated rural residential and some natural area. The subject property is highlighted here in blue. So the natural area is really primarily on what you'll see as proposed outlot X here, and then a little bit of lot 3 here. So the surrounding land use, there are 20 single-family dwellings within a quarter mile of this property. To the north is recently approved Timber Road Estates. The Lohman's second edition originally included this whole portion here, but was lots 2 through 7 and part of 8 were vacated around 2006 and made into one lot, which is the subject property today. Lohman's second addition is to the east here, and then we have another residential subdivision to the northeast. So getting more specific into that background, the Lohman second edition was platted in 1973 with 8 proposed residential lots. Again, lots 2 through 7 and part of lot 8, as well as part of the road right-of-way that was never improved, were vacated in 2006. Again, these vacations created the subject property, which is now called Parcel C. Of the land located within 1/4 mile of the proposed rezoning area, 80% is in an agricultural use, and about 20% is residential. So here is just a zoomed in. The subject property is highlighted in blue. Lot 1 of the Lohman second edition is here, and that's existing. Lot 8 is here, and that's existing. But lots 2 through 7 and part of 8 and the road right-of-way were vacated. There is another single-family dwelling parcel that's unplatted immediately to the north of the subject property.
What does that mean, an unplatted residential?
It's not part of a subdivision.
Okay.
So it's a parcel. It's not a lot. It's not a subdivision.
It's an independent lot. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So the utility providers in this area, Consumers Energy, Xenia Rural Water, Kelly Fire Department provides services, and the Mary Greeley Ambulance. So the proposed subdivision, again, is for 3 lots for 2 additional single-family dwellings. Proposed lot 1 is 1.55 acres, and that would be located to the southwest of the existing single-family dwelling. Proposed lot 2, it would be 1.31 acres, and that would be located to the southeast of the existing single-family dwelling. Proposed lot 3 would contain the existing single-family dwelling, and then outlot A has a current ingress egress access easement on it, which allows the properties to the north to take access off of Timber Road. So this area here, which is a proposed Outlot A, it's the intention of the applicant to transfer that to these property owners, and that would remain in the ingress egress easement for those property owners.
Is that identified by C in that kind of that?
We have it, yeah, here.
Right,
so this is Outlot A. It's the intention of the property owner to transfer that to the owner of Lot 1 of the Lowman Second Edition, or Second Subdivision, and then this other property owner that currently take access off of that drive.
So there's a dwelling on each parcel.
How do they get to Lot 1 and 2? Is it
280th Street is to the south.
Oh, there. I see. Okay.
Yep, so.
The road from the south, and then the road curves around.
Okay. Yeah.
It'll be a proposed driveway.
The existing single-family dwelling is located on Lot 3. They currently take access off of Timber Road in close proximity to Lot 8. And we'll look at that in a minute here. You can see Lot 8 takes access off of Timber Road, and then proposed Lot 3 currently takes access off of Timber Road as well. Okay, so here are some site photos. This is the existing single-family dwelling, which would be located on proposed Lot 3, and the proposed access point from 280th. Again, this is an alternative compliance request, so I'll get into that in a second. Here's looking northeast toward the property to the east of the proposed subdivision. That's a residential property zoned A1. Looking east along 280th Street, looking south across 280th Street, agricultural fields. Looking west along 280th Street from Timber Road. And this is the property to the west, on the west side of Timber Road across from the subject property. This is Lot 8 of Lowman's second subdivision, and I'm standing here in this image on Timber Road. And the intersection of this is the drive to the existing dwelling. And again, the drive to Lot 8 is just to the north there. Here's a single family dwelling again on proposed Lot 3. I'm sorry about that. This is looking north from the existing single family dwelling kind of toward Outlot A there. This accessory structure is actually located on Lot 8 of the Lowman Second Edition. So we can, if you have any questions about exactly where everything's arranged, we can look back at the plat in a minute here. Here's looking west toward Timber Road from proposed Lot 3. Looking southeast at proposed Lot 1. Again, 280th runs east-west here, and Timber Road runs to the north. Here's looking south toward the proposed shared access easement from the existing single-family dwelling. And then looking southwest at proposed Lot 2, again, 280th runs east-west there. This is just looking east at the property adjacent to what would be Lot 2. So now I am up on Timber Road, where Outlot A intersects with Timber Road. This is looking south onto the ingress egress access easement for those two dwellings to the north. Here's one of the homes, and that's on Lot 1 of Lowman's second subdivision. Again, moving south on that ingress egress Outlot A easement. And the second single-family dwelling that takes access off of there. In terms of rezoning, again, single-family residential uses with maximum average net densities of one unit per acre. The subdivision the proposed lots meet that requirement, encouraging clustering of residential sites, and then limiting rural residential development on prime agricultural land. This property is not currently in agricultural production. The proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent. The proposed subdivision does meet the bulk requirements of the AR agricultural district and is also consistent with nearby residential lots. Number three is the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. It's immediately adjacent to the R1 transitional residential district to the north. The original platting of Lohman's second edition was zoned R1 and included a total of 8 lots, which were vacated to create one property. Again, this is only 3 lots being proposed for 2 additional single-family dwellings, which is half of the original subdivision plat. This has to do with 50% of the area being of the property being designated as natural area. It's primarily designated on Outlot A, which will remain in that ingress-egress access easement, and will be transferred to the property owners to the north. The proposed Lot 3 does include the existing single-family dwelling and some of the eastern edge of that lot is designated natural area, although there's no development anticipated in that area, and it would be discouraged. We're not going from A1 or A2 to a different district, so that this standard is not applicable. In terms of the subdivision regulations, for a minor subdivision, there's no more than 4 lots proposed. They're fronted on an existing public street. The subdivision includes no land set apart for new streets, alleys, parks, dedicated open space, school property, or public use. And no agricultural minor subdivisions have been approved for the tracts after 2003. So the alternative compliance request has to do with the shared access easement. This is similar to the one we had before you last month, where when a driveway can't meet the 300-foot separation distance requirement, there you can have a shared access easement, but it cannot exceed 50 feet in width. I showed this to you last month. Again, the easement would be parallel with the road right-of-way, and it wouldn't exceed and shouldn't exceed 50 feet in width. With the current configuration, the applicant is requesting to allow the extension of the access easement north to Lot 3 in order to remove the access from Timber Road here.
Because that existing is not in compliance, right, with the 50-foot
or the 300-foot
separation.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Timber Road is gravel.
Yep, this would allow
a paved road.
This would allow Lot 3 to take access off of the paved road.
I don't think that just my comment, if that's going to be a gravel drive, you're going to drive on the same amount of gravel, whether you turn it on Timber Road and hit the driveway or grab up the gravel. So I don't think that's kind of the driving factor. I'm speculating.
Less turning.
I'm with you.
Okay.
The existing drive will also be removed so that we had 2 driveways really close to each other here. That would eliminate the one to the south.
So the highlighted driveway, how many properties is that serving?
It would serve 3.
A total of 3.
A total
one
of 3.
One existing dwelling and 2 proposed.
This is 280th Street here. This is Timber Road.
Okay.
Proposed Lot 1 would be here.
Yep.
Proposed Lot 2, and then Lot 3, which has the existing single-family dwelling.
And they'd all come out on 280th Street.
That's correct. So, again, it's to extend that 50-foot maximum to reach up to or to extend up to proposed Lot 3. Again, it'll minimize access points along Timber Drive, And it will allow the proposed lots to take access from a paved county road. Planning development staff do support this alternative compliance request with the application for the minor subdivision. Comments from the interagency review team, the Story County engineer just asked that existing drive be removed. The assessor's office just talked about the Iowa platting law again. We had questions, planning and development department had questions for the applicant about the proposed easement and how that would impact the existing driveway again. Questions about installing a hammerhead to accommodate for vehicle and truck turnaround. Again, that's not a requirement as it's a private driveway. We had just some basic questions about Outlot A being conveyed to the property owners to the north and some detailed information on the plat. Comments from the public. The notice letters were sent again on August 29th to property owners within a quarter mile of the proposed subdivision, as well as to the cities Ames and Gilbert and Kelly. Sorry, that's not on there. The cities of Ames and Gilbert have expressed no concerns. They don't have any concerns with the proposed rezoning and subdivision. The city of Kelly contacted me this morning and said that they will address the subdivision at their September 12th city council meeting. This we anticipate this possibly going to the Board of Supervisors on September 19th. So we will have that, I guess, notification of their decision on that or their input on that before we go to the Board of Supervisors. We did receive one phone call with general inquiries, but no official comments were provided. So the analysis and recommendation for the rezoning, planning and development staff do support the proposed rezoning from the AR Agricultural Residential District with conditions to the AR Agricultural Residential District without conditions based on the following. The underlying zoning district will not change. The proposed lots are all over 1 acre in size. And no crops will be taken out of production. The existing zoning conditions were specific to a previous property owner's request, again, to have horses. The proposed rezoning conforms to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and the AR Agricultural Residential District Statement of Intent. And the proposed... The proposed use will better conform to the surrounding land use in terms of lot sizes than the originally proposed 1973 Lohman Second subdivision in terms of the number of lots. For subdivision, again, planning and development staff do recommend approval of the Lohman's fourth minor subdivision with the alternative compliance requested. This is a minor subdivision, will only create three lots for two additional single-family dwellings. The proposed subdivision does meet our land development requirements for minor subdivisions. All lots have frontage on a public road. Again, proposed lot three does have frontage on Timber Road. However, the current access location off of Timber Road would be removed with the alternative compliance request. And there's no land set apart for streets, alleys, parks, or dedicated open space. So here are your alternatives. Do you have any questions?
And again, there's two measures, the rezoning request to go from the current zoning with conditions to the current zoning without those conditions, and then the subdivision plat would be a separate motion.
Does anyone here want to speak in for or against? No? Commission, do you have any questions to staff?
Are you the owner of this property?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I need you were. And you live in the existing dwelling?
Yes. state your
name. Ben Jensen, 27932 Timber Road, property owner. So this property has been vacant. The previous owner lost it to the bank about 9 years ago. So he developed it in 2006, lost it immediately, and it's been vacant. Grant's been vacant and not used. Driveways, all of it's been vacant since last November when I purchased it from the bank. I've been remodeling it and trying to figure out what his intentions of the property were and what to do with the property since he put his house in the middle of what should have been a road originally, the plot from 2003. So that's really all that I'm trying to do. I've been living it for a little bit. The outlot to the north, just kind of weird that I own that property. That is really just up my neighbor's driveway, so trying to get that separated. Ultimately, we'd love to have two houses to the south of me and have a paved road all the way to my house. So that would be the ultimate idea of that driveway, is that would be paved access to the existing house. For now, it'll be gravel and until everything else gets developed. But that's generally the intentions there. So,
any other questions for the applicant? Questions for staff?
Thanks.
So what we need to do is make a motion about the rezoning request first, right, Chair?
Correct.
We have a motion.
This is alternative one.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to approve rezoning and second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote.
Mervin.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Holstrom.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, and then the second motion will be for the subdivision request. Again, it's a minor subdivision request for three lots for two additional single-family dwellings.
Make a motion.
With the alternative compliance request.
The alternative compliance request will be with that motion?
Correct, okay. Yes.
Do we have such a motion?
Yeah, I motion that we do number one.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please.
Smith.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Holstrom.
Yes.
Mervin.
Yes.
So that will go on to the Board
tentatively.
Of tentatively be in front of the Board of Supervisors September 19th.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Fernald, yes. Discussion, consideration of Fernald update and action. Mr. Orr.
Yes. Fernald. Fernald was on the Planning and Development Department's work program. We were to assess the community's needs. We had an open meeting on May 23rd. Linda was there, attended. We met at Sheets Seed Supply and Bex Hybrids on that date. And there are probably over 30 people from that community, which is probably over three quarters of the property owners attended. And we heard pretty much the full gamut of concerns involving missing road signs, missing 911 signs. And by the way, it's not E911 anymore. It's 911, but that's being changed. Emily can fill us in after I'm done.
Sounds like a whole story here.
State legislation. There were concerns about potholes in the roads. There was concerns about like shoulder area problems. We had people building without permits. There was an individual at the two main roads intersecting that unincorporated burb that I call it, that we call it. It's a village that had wood logs stacked within the road right away, and it was making it very difficult for people to see oncoming traffic and people. But overall, the majority of the comments involve stormwater drainage and flooding that occurs. This is in actually two drainage districts, and there's an old tile that was constructed in the early 1920s, and we're told by the county's engineer that it's still effective. It's efficient for what it was designed for, which was a 1/8
inch of rain over a 24-hour period. But when we get more substantial rains,
just anytime it rains,
2, 3, 5, 6 inches, we have areas where there's standing water, flooding occurs. And part of the concern comes with the railroad right-of-way, which is on the western limit of Pernald. And part of it drains fairly well, and part of it doesn't. There's some low areas, and again, during these higher rain events, some of that water extends over into some of these properties on the south portion of Pernald.
Was that right? Was that railroad right-of-way there in like 1920 when they designed the tile?
It's been there for a long, long time, and Darren is actually working on part of that tile system, including an extension that goes underneath the railroad right-of-way, and there's a pretty elaborate process just to have discussions with the railroad. But he has assured us that part of the discussion will include...
3 years from now, they'll be able to address it.
Part of the discussion will include hopefully some improvements to the right-of-way that's impacting these landowners. But after our meeting, Environmental Health, which is Margaret's department, Darren and our staff and Margaret's staff sat down, tried to assess all the comments that we received, tried to figure out what things that we could take care of administratively. And I would say most of those items have been addressed. The 911 signs have been installed. The traffic signs have been installed. The potholes have been fixed. Darren intends to re-gravel the entire village roads system before the end of the year. Some shoulder work will take place next year.
Woodpile.
The woodpile issue, we sent a friendly letter and got compliance. He did move that material back. There's some dilapidated structures. One of them was burnt by the, it was a professional practice by the Nevada Fire Department, so one of those previous houses has been addressed. But some of that dilapidated structure, those issues are ongoing. But for the most part, again, most of those things have been addressed. We learned through our review that the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship might be a good resource for us. They primarily promote green infrastructure practices, non-piping. And so we had a representative come out in June, toward the end of June. We met again with many of the citizens, talked to them one-on-one about their specific concerns. But overall, the representative didn't think the green practices approach would be very effective with the standing water and the flooding that occurs in this area, except for maybe on the north end. There's a farm field that's probably 2 feet higher in elevation than one of the properties that gets impacted from the drainage. And so there's been some discussion about trying to maybe see if that landowner would convert part of their land to CRP grasses to try to help absorb, slow down the flooding that happens, and then also maybe that property owner could put in some grasses to try to help. But overall, the rest of it, the green practices approach, according to the IDOLS representative, wouldn't be very effective. So that kind of led us into, okay, what else is out there? We tried to reach out to Iowa State University Engineering Department of Ag to see if maybe there would be a class or some students that might be interested in it. And so far, we haven't had any takers, but we're still putting it out there that we've got some interest, at least to talk to them about it. But we've also done a lot of research on state and federal programs, and that's why Amelia is here, to kind of segue from me to her on some things that we're looking at. And again, what we're after is a motion to go forward to the Board of Supervisors to kind of give them some options, again, to try to really address what really the major issue is, which is the drainage and the flooding.
Bottom line is that there needs to be some monetary allocation from the Board of Supervisors.
Bottom line, okay. Yes.
I'm with you.
So moving forward, we have a few different ideas.
I guess I'll start with the second one on the memo we provided you, which is the NRCS. They do the evaluations and work with landowners on putting farmland into the Conservation Reserve Program. So they're going to come out once crops have been harvested and look at adjacent farming operations and see where it might be beneficial to take some out of agricultural production and put it into conservation practices.
Is that basically where you'll have farm fields that always have kind of fallow spots where they may seed it, but you get the rain and then it dies off? And
I'm not sure. I know Linda has some in the program. There's a bunch of different practices. There's a ton of different practices to choose from pollinator programs to. So I'm not really sure what specifically we'll do. The only thing I want to note on that is that they're taking applications right now, but getting new lands approved and new acres approved into the program is currently on hold at the federal level. So while landowners could apply, it was unclear when they would be accepted or if they would. But we'll be doing that mid-October.
They usually say that when they come through.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. So they'll be coming out. They'll also bring an engineer with them that works with their office at the state level to look at some more urban conservation type practices again. But we really think we need a study done, an engineering study of that tile system and improving it. And that costs money. There was a similar study done on the other fork of that. In that other fork of the drainage area, there's another tile to the west. That was $15,000.
Just for the study.
Just for the study. But we did find a program through the USDA called SEARCH, the Special Evaluation Assistance for Rural Communities Grant Program, which provides grants for feasibility, design, and engineering studies for water projects for distressed communities under 2,500 people. So, and it... Yeah, and so we've talked to the USDA representative for our region. They accept applications on an ongoing basis. Sounds like if you apply within their first couple quarters, so October through December, January through March, you might get funding. It can be up to $30,000. The only catch is that for USDA funds, we have to do an income survey of Fernald.
Well, we have an option there.
And the option, yes, is that USDA works with the Midwest Assistance Program, and the Midwest Assistance Program, if the county were to request an income survey, would bill the USDA for the income survey. But it's not funding that we can apply for necessarily. It's just like a back channel. That's how this nonprofit is funded. And what they do is income surveys.
The income threshold that they need to meet is what?
$43,000.
Household
median income. And the issue is, with smaller communities like that, USDA looks at township level data, and Richland Township is over that threshold. Fernald may or may not be.
And I think once you get that survey, you'll get the data that you need to proceed.
We hope so, too.
The farm, to the north. Have you talked with the landowner there?
Not yet. It sounded like NRCS wanted to reach out about their own program.
We've got letters ready to go. We wanted to come here first before we do a lot of things.
And say, hey, and the county wants you to put this land into. But, yeah.
So would you like from us, Jared?
Is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, just that the income survey for the funding for the study would also maybe allow us to apply for more grants and loans from USDA.
Yeah.
So, multi-purpose.
Any of the community development loan business program, the grants work for that area?
So community development block grants. We talked to the Iowa Economic Development Authority because they administer those. They may be eligible for community facilities and services, but it sounded like those were targeted towards larger communities.
Sounds like they have certain projects in mind. This one probably really wouldn't
But yeah. We could try it.
I was wondering if stormwater would be considered a utility in that thing.
I get those word. I can tell you that it is. Where I live.
So community development block grants has a specific like water quality programs grant fund, but stormwater isn't water quality improvements. In this case, especially for Fernald, we might just be looking at control as the main point of this project, not necessarily quality. And so they said that grant program probably wouldn't be applicable. We should look at community facilities, which you're right, would be utilities and that kind of thing. But again, then they were hesitant about the size of the project, and they want it to be beneficial for the most people.
Well, no, it's on a pretty small scale.
Exactly. And they really want to see a lot of people benefit. And yeah. I think
and
our...
You have to determine how... I mean, you can see how many people were affected by this situation, stormwater situation, and then survey those people directly, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're proposing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is survey the people who are impacted by any decision in this...
Exactly.
Stormwater unit mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what we're proposing. With the
you're thinking about getting a grant for the funding of a study, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Otherwise, we would have to levy the drainage district, which can be done. But it would be helpful if there were additional funds. It takes a vote, and
why don't you take that?
Again, you know, we see our role as to come up with the options, mm-hmm. and then ultimately, we want to come here first and get some input, and mm-hmm. then ultimately the board.
Well, letting the drainage district means it goes back to those property owners there.
Mm-hmm.
So not to be impatient, but I'm tired of being here.
yeah, well, I'll go with that.
So what?
Just a motion. In support of direction, the information that we provide, you know, if we're on the right course, and if you agree that, you know, this information should be presented to the Board of Supervisors.
So, recognizing the great success that you guys have already had, right?
Fantastic. There has been a lot of
fantastic turnout, good activity, good results. And when you're putting, I'm sure you know this, but when you're putting together your grant application, make sure to highlight your successes with this program already. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
and the community turnout.
Yeah, the community right. turnout.
Yeah.
They're vested.
That's a good point.
They're vested and active.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I'll make a motion to recommend that staff move forward with seeking further assistance and approval from the Board of Supervisors to continue work in Fernald.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Smith?
Yes.
Holstrom?
Yes.
McBride?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
Merkin?
Yes.
Sherwood?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you have any other comments, Jerry?
No, I don't. I was going to say yes, but I don't.
Yeah, for the second part of the meeting.
Now that we just got warmed up, now for the second half. Thank you.
Negative.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
No motion.
Yeah. I always say every day we have to have a good sense of humor.